Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to Get the Table, another Wrestling Roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and the Dadley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanflow and Michael Sidgwick, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views or premium live events or whatever they're bloody called nowadays. We have interviews, more roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Hanflow and Sidgwick. And gentlemen, we are gathered here today to once again discuss WWE releases, specifically WWE staff releases. This news, of course, breaking last night. A statement being released by WWE saying, with the continued evolution of NXT 2.0, we've decided to part ways with some of the staff based in our performance center. We thank them for their many contributions throughout the years and wish them the best. Full list of names, George Carroll, who's a producer, Kathy Carino, the coach, Ryan Katz, an NXT creative producer, Dave Kapoor, a writer, Chris Guy, a performance center coach, Sarah Cummins, the senior VP of consumer goods, Hideki Suzuki, a performance center coach, and you may have noticed one of the people previously involved in Diamond Mine, Danny Burch, Timothy Thatcher, both wrestlers who'd also been working as coaches in the Performance Center, Scott Armstrong, a producer and referee, Brian Road Dog James, a producer, of course, and William Regal, a director of talent development, head of global recruiting, and NXT GM. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of this, Sid, your reaction to this news last night?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be insensitive, right? But how many Death of NXT podcasts can we possibly record?
I know.
We've done about four of them so far. Like the initial rebrand, the NXT 2.0 stuff, the end of the Wednesday Night War. Like, is it a cat? I mean, I know Finn Balor was a cat when he was in there, but like, is it a cat? It's got...
Yeah, no, Bron Breakker wasn't kicking the X, he was kicking the cat.
He was kicking
like,
the cat.
That, we just didn't, we've been, like, what happened was we thought we'd seen the funeral. We just didn't realise we were still at the wake. The wake is ongoing, and at this point, Vince McMahon and Nick Khan have said, can you leave, please? There's no buffet left. Like, this ended 2 hours ago, and you're still here.
It's the oddest thing. Like, this brand is just... It's like death by a literal thousand cuts at this point. It just continues to be absolutely not the thing that Triple H launched or relaunched in 2012. It is... They might as well change the name at this point. And I honestly suspect that they will at some point next year just to completely disassociate people from what it was because it's a completely different thing now. Look, we have to measure the tone of this. You've not just destroyed it. But we have to measure the tone of this because the crack is Road Dogg will have a lot of money to potentially retire from. He will get lots of convention work or whatever. Look, and he was a bit of a knob, quite frankly. So there's a lot of fun to be had on social media, not personally by me, of, oh, you know, like Triple H is in the mud and all the rest of it. But there are people who were asked to move, to completely relocate their lives for, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
After years and years of, and I hate this word because wrestling's bastardized it, but they have been grinding for years and years and years, doing that from which NXT itself benefited in the case of Alice in Danger, just to be told, oh, 3 months and I'm pissed off.
Yeah, I saw that story either last night or this morning when I was reading through Twitter, because obviously Regal and to a certain extent Road Dogg and people like Danny Burch and Timothy Thatcher sort of dominated the headlines. And I really wasn't that aware of Kathy Carino, Alison Dangerous. She might be better known to certain people. And then I just saw a thread. I do apologize to whoever tweeted this. I saw a thread saying, you know, a lot of people are going to be talking about Regal, etc. But I want to tell you about a friend of mine talking
Lenny
about
Leonard, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was.
Who was tweeting about the fact that, they've uprooted that, not just their lives. The thing that really hit me is like dragging your kids out of school, you know, making them leave all their friends behind, move across the country. You know, you struggle through, it's a difficult time for everyone still with COVID. You struggle through Christmas. And then, like, effectively, what, the first day they're at school, you get a phone call after you drop them off saying, yeah, you're not going to need you anymore. I thought that was, you know, as much as I, you know, have an issue with them getting rid of what I would have assumed was WWE lifers in the likes of Regal, I just couldn't get over the fact that they've decided to do this with the people that they have in the way that they have.
I know we sort of like, we make a joke out of a lot in wrestling on these podcasts, and we try whenever there are big cuts on this scale not to do that, or assiduously, that's like measure the tone correctly. But this is the unfortunate reality of mass releases, or certainly the way WWE releasing such huge volume at this point, understandably so, a Regal and a Road Dogg, and it does seem to make sense to lean on those two because they're the biggest names and they're also the wrestlers, the performers that people have the most affection to. That's a natural reaction.
Not me, to Road Dogg.
Well, certainly not Road Dogg. But you know what I mean? Like there's an understanding where you can kind of see why people are shocked and dismayed and disappointed and whatever with the big names, the people that you've got an affection to or you feel like you've like built a bond with. But when there are releases on this scale, and this is any company, not just WWE, it's those that kind of need the least sympathy. They may have made the most money. They may have the most opportunities coming out of it. It is a Kathy Carino or some of the, there was an office staff who, again, the name of, you've already read a name out and I've forgotten it. Was it Sarah Cummings?
Yes, the right? Senior VP of Consumer Goods.
Like, that sounds like a reasonably high-level job, but I don't know what her prospects are as a result or what her situation was before or things like that because she wasn't a television star that I've got to watch do their job for a living on screen. So, yeah, it is both. You can have a little bit of fun at the expense of people you would like to think are wealthy enough to be able to, that you're still punching up, and equally you can feel sad for the ones who have really suffered as a result of this. I don't know if we're going to cover this as we go on through this podcast because it's kind of it's a broader point now, but something that struck me with this Kathy Carino one specifically was that going forward, the way in which WWE have unleashed these cuts on masses of talents, lots of whom had presumably signed longer term deals, when you've got somebody like, and it's one thing for Bryan Danielson to talk openly and bravely about like putting his head above the parapet and saying, look, wrestlers need to be protected more in these deals. But B-Fab, somebody 5 minutes into the industry, relatively speaking, still really young herself, coming out and saying, WWE contracts are scary. They don't protect talent at all. That needs to start being the conversation. I hope truly that the last few years and the likes of the CM Punk promo, as we recall this on a Thursday that took place last night in Dynamite about getting released 8 months later, I think even Will Ospreay mentioned it in one of his New Japan press conferences, the idea that it is becoming commonplace for wrestlers out loud to say, these WWE contracts are terrible. You know, it's not something that's buried in the small print anymore. I hope that it makes wrestlers consider their options more than just looking at the logo at the top.
No more options.
Well, true, but it feels like we're well removed from the Dream Chaser era. Mm. Like, that feels like it's something that is becoming passé. And, like, lawyer up. You know, get your legal team to look and add something into the language and see if you yourself... WWE not going to make a wholesale change, but that doesn't stop a talent from trying to make one for them.
It's just such an unfair one-way street, in my opinion, of you have to dedicate... If you sign this bit of paper, you are committing 2, 3, 4, 5 years of your life, regardless of how bad it gets, unless we agree to it, you are stuck working for this company unless you take a real drastic action akin to PAC, for example. But... In the same breath, we aren't necessarily committing to pay you for those 5 years. If we decide, or budget cuts, or creative got nothing for you, or whatever it may be, we can turn around and not only say that's that, but in some cases don't even have to give you that much notice of just like, oh, well, 30 days and then, you know, you're out on your ear with no money coming in. Sort of
it's your first day in capitalism.
Yeah.
It's just horrendous. It's just absolutely horrendous. And people get calcified to it. I saw way more jokes at the expense of, was William Regal a good wrestler, on Twitter? And everyone had a bit of fun engaging with it and all the rest of it. But there are people who've, like William Regal is, like, I assume, an incredibly wealthy man who could theoretically, after 90 days, or maybe that doesn't even work now that it's his office, could just go to AEW, could just retire if he wanted, could just do a podcast anywhere.
Any company with the initial W at the end will probably welcome William Regal in with open arms, don't they? GCW would have him, probably.
Like, absolutely.
To, you know, in any capacity.
They could go to New Japan Strong, could do some stuff there, could recruit for them. But yeah, it's just what they do now. It's
would you like to see some of these people in AEW?
William Regal, right? Scout and I imagine, right, in like high schools and stuff. They'll have their own media and you'll be able to get an idea of who's good. You're not going to just start from scratch. But in terms of wrestling media, if you're a scout, particularly for a company like WWE, right, where you, if you're in WWE, you just have no conception nor care about what's going on around. You hear the faintest bit of buzz about someone somewhere. Like, they signed CM Punk in 2005 because they'd heard some whisper somewhere that this guy's got buzz. Like, we'll sign him. And they thought, he's crap. Like, he wasn't, obviously, but they thought he's crap. Yeah, he's crap. He was never going to debut on the main roster as a star. He was always going to go to OVW. But
he confirmed their biases about indie wrestling, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he happened to work like the style that he'd learned on the independent scene.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. So because of that's how WWE operated, Regal was basically, and Triple H were allowed to control, and I've used this analogy several times, the mega fans will forgive me. Mm-hmm. You can essentially control an F asterisk, 1, 2, 3, 4, in the Observer and go, return, 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 return. Do it over the space for about 2 months. Oh, he must be good. Go to a PWG show. Oh, everyone's over. Here's an idea. Let's not be discerning. Let's not even do any scouting. Let's just literally sign everyone that's prepared to come that could potentially debilitate the competition that seems to be rising. We don't like that. To that end, I'm not saying that a lot of wrestlers haven't come out with massive support to William Regal and said, I would not be the same wrestler. These are things that we don't know about, quite frankly. So I don't know if I'm well judged to say that William Regal could be a great scout for AEW, considering they've already got a pretty close ear to the ground on what's going on in various scenes. Maybe as a coach and mentor. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like my area of expertise, this.
It's all speculative, isn't it? The coaching role to me seems interesting, but only from what little I've seen of him on fairly carefully produced WWE shows. Like, you look at Orange Cassidy, like, can't throw a kick, can he? William Regal can tell him to move his left foot. Couldn't resist that one. But, legitimately, he has done interviews before where he's very carefully spoken about how, through all of his experience and all the various different companies and styles he's worked and things like that, he felt like he knew how to get over in WWE and he wanted to impart that knowledge on others. That phrase, get over in WWE, says to me, I'll get over anywhere. So theoretically, within AEW, whatever it is that, say, a Billy Gunn or a Jerry Lynn, or they all offer different things, is what I'm saying. William Regal can probably quite quickly acclimatise himself to whatever AEW's core model is and help people get over within AEW. I'm sure there's tons of friends, like, from people that have either worked with him or have got friends that, if you look at an Adam Cole as an example, all the people that have never worked with William Regal but now work or previously worked with Adam Cole, I'm sure are hearing wonderful things about William Regal, you would assume. So theoretically, he slots right in if they want him and he wants it.
I was going to say, the locker room, like you say, not just Cole, you've got O'Reilly, you've got Fish, you've got people like FTR who've said that they wouldn't exist without him.
Yeah, he's going to have supporters. He may, again, and this is why it's so speculative, he may have enemies.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Ross was celebrated now head of talent relations, but he himself said you make no friends in that job. So there would have been people that for a lot of years might have had a bit of an axe to grind with Jim Ross. They might have also had one with William Regal as a guy in a position of power in a performance center that was often not there. Nicest place. So it's all like that will be interesting. I think it'll be interesting to see if he fits, if he goes, if he wants it, if he doesn't. this one, this time around, does feel less about the, including the wrestlers, oh, will so-and-so go to AEW, will so-and-so go to New Japan, and more about the bigger picture of what it says about WWE just eroding and erasing everything about Triple H and the old NXT.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Sid, just to run through some of the other names, I know a reaction to one of these names. The likes of a Road Dogg, a Danny Burch, Timothy Thatcher, would you like to see them involved in AEW?
Road Dogg, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I just don't... Everything I've read that he's posted, said in interviews... He's going to kayfabe your brother when he's talking about WWE and scripted promos and stuff, but like, this is a guy who made Lacey Evans do his song to karaoke. He just seems like an awful human being and a rank egotist, and I hate his political views on a personal, subjective level, mm-hmm. And this is my podcast, so absolutely no way would I want to see him associated anyway with the company that I'm actually still watching.
Not even if Billy Gunn does a double bicep pose and goes, I know I've got arms... strong, but the gun club's got another bullet in the chamber.
And then it's
the fourth man.
Thatcher. I like him if Ciampa goes with him. But like, look, if Danielson wants to work him, I would take Thatcher as like when he like a TNT Open Challenge guy.
Yeah,
he just look. A lot of people like him. He happens to work a style that. Like, I'm going to do an extremely Hans Moleman voice. I like technical wrestling. I like love Danielson's on my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Bret Hart's on my Mount Rushmore. Zack Sabre Jr. before New Japan fell off a cliff. I adored watching him. Extremely Hans Moleman voice. Timothy Thatcher. No, that's too technical. That's not in the grapple.
Thatcher and the Brozowitz Thatcher replacement. All right, fine, I'll get involved. Turn, fight pit. In hindsight, that was quite an AEW arc, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, they were very, like, sweet in the way that they built that relationship between him and Riddle, only then to snap it apart. Like, he could fit in, at least briefly, in like, AEW's storyline universe, I think. But, I don't know, like...
He's not a TV wrestler.
Well, and is this the year? It's a bigger issue than just Thatcher. But I was very much of the opinion last year of, bring them all in. It's not my problem. It's not my wallet. Let's see who fits and let's see who doesn't. I'm starting to question my own take when you look at the division of labor and time on AEW's 3 hours of television. So I don't know.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When it comes to the real reason that these guys were released, I thought it spoke volumes about this report from Sean Ross Sapp, who we should give a great deal of credit to for covering this story, of Fightful Select, that when he spoke to WWE officials and asked whether or not the latest call was done, not because of budget cuts, but to effectively remove people hired by Triple H, Kathy Carino really being the only exception in that list of names I've given, it wasn't denied. That speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Like, even before I read that report, when I first heard about Regal, because it was all over Twitter, and I realized, oh, hang on, they've cut loose quite a few people here. The Regal name, the biggest example points out, dominated the discourse. My major reaction was, Jesus Christ, everything that Triple H has had in mind for the past 10 years about the future of this company is gone-y, to paraphrase. Vince McMahon doing Jeff Jarrett's catchphrase, the weirdest possible way.
You know how he likes to say it? No, you know how you told him to say it?
I thought, well, that's Triple H's legacy even further damned. And more specifically, the I can get over with the fans, which is what ultimately the aim is. It's just become funnier in retrospect. But that's what the aim is. You want to get over with your fan base. So he put his ear to the ground. He burst that WWE bubble for a little bit to his credit. I was like, well, who's over? Who can we get in? Daniel Bryan's changed everything. Who can we get in? Who can we start recruiting? To be fair, he was ahead of the curve because he was recruiting like the likes of Rollins and stuff and Ambrose in 2012, but that's by the by.
The women when nobody else is really watching.
Absolutely, well. Absolutely. That like, that's the thing. Like, time will be kind at Triple H's legacy. Just knowing that everything he did with Booker T and entire swaths of mid-card wrestlers and all the rest of it just makes it funny for now. But time will be kind to his legacy and how progressive he was and how he was one of the few people associated with the McMahon family to not be a completely hubristic, body-obsessed knobhead. Even though he is a knobhead still. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He is when he's in the mirror. He just wasn't as a booker for like 2 years.
So Regal was the guy who was like, I'm going to use my stroke, get a receiver hall. The American Legion building in Reseda, rather. Pick my head around the corner. All of you. We're warehousing people, so all of you. And get all the PWG kickpad guys, boom, into NXT. When I thought that he was gone, I was like, Jesus, it's actually over, because that's what he was in there to do. He's there to mentor, develop talent, but he's also there to scout the workers, right? And he realized Road Dogg's gone at the same time. He's the guy who was closely monitoring Dexter Lumis. So not only have you got like the kick pad work rate component of NXT gone through the release of William Regal, you've also got Wacky Dragon Lady Dexter Lumis. It's all about character. You know that when that started creeping in 2020, yeah, and it's out at the forefront now. A lot of that's Road Dogg. Absolutely. He's a Dexter Lumis guy. He's a wacky sports entertainment guy. Look how he got over in the first place. Like, it's all gone. I don't know what it's going to be now, but whatever it was, all of it, the good, the bad, the wacky, which became a thing last year, all of it's gone. Like, NXT, we know it's dead. It's called NXT 2.0. Like, even the NXT 2.0 thing seems to... The wacky stuff's gone. The Pete Dunne's and the Tommaso Ciampa's, like, all that element seems to be gone as well. It's just going to be the blind leading the blind, big lads. Triple H having zero imprint on it?
It is. We'll talk a little bit more about Triple H in a second, but it is astonishing. I mentioned this on the news today, and it's been, you know, echoed around social media, that in a time where they've got that nil list, next in line, whatever it is, they've obviously, like you say, completely changed NXT 2.0, and they've decided it's not PWG light or whatever you want to call it. It is going to be our wrestlers from the ground up sort of thing that we've molded from this clay of other sports athletes. But then you get rid of a William Regal who's got this, you know, decades of experience. You get rid of a Timothy Thatcher, a Danny Burch. You get rid of other people like that. Like, it's astonishing that they do those two things at the same time.
It is. And yet, in a strange sort of way, though this has never technically happened in WWE before, because once upon a time, WWE was all Vince McMahon. NXT represented quite a unique fragmenting of like an entire product that existed out of his purview. Every other aspect of this sort of follows wrestling history. Again, not in WWE, but if you take WCW, that was always a senior vice president's role underneath like Ted Turner as the boss, but somebody that he just wanted to like give a job to somebody that Eric Bischoff would eventually get and change all that. But so like Bill Watts had Jim Ross, Kip Fry brought with him a group of people that would speak to the rest on his behalf and talk to them about bonus structures and things like that. Even within WWE, certain power players at the time would have had their guys. You know, like Vince McMahon has always had yes men, but their yes men, like Bruce Pritchard would have had his yes men, with Pat Patterson and so on and so on and so on. That didn't happen for a long time, because once Vince monopolized everything, Even Vince Russo had Ed Ferrara. You know, even Vince Russo had a guy that he kind of needed as an ally going to WCW. Once Vince monopolized everything, you were in a situation where everybody had to just bend over to the last boss in town. So that kind of went away until Triple H started NXT with his own team, little satellite operation that we used to sort of joke about it. It's like, God, I hope Vince never sees this. You know, or like, God forbid what happens when he does, and look what's happened. Like, he's seen it, and he's thought, don't like that anymore. I'm going to ruin that. And this was sort of the last... We've joked about Vince and Kevin and Bruce being backstage at 2.0 and running things. We never named Triple H in this, and not just because he's obviously been, like, ill with his heart situation. We would have probably kind of viewed it through that lens anyway. It's almost as if they've been in that building for 8, 9 weeks, 12 weeks even, and looked and thought, like, right, well, it's still not quite as we like it yet. Get rid of you, get rid of you, get rid of you, get rid of you. The wrestling side has been happening on screen in front of our very eyes, and now it's just happening at a corporate level as well. I do still think some of this is just Nick Khan spreadsheet stuff. Like, NXT UK continues to dodge it because none of those guys earn enough to appear on his, like, bottom row of tabs, but William Regal would have been. You know, sizable money that will be cut from the spreadsheet, cut from the budget. Money that probably for over a year now Vince McMahon has deemed wasteful because none of this reflects the vision he wants. NXT's initials seem to be holding back that brand now, 2.0. Like we said on the podcast reviewing the show, let's get some more colourful belts. Those belts aren't this brand's belts. They're another show's belts, you know, get some new ones in. Like, seeing the NXT title is like, and I love the old WCW US title, but seeing the NXT title is like seeing that in 2001 WWE. It's like, they want to get rid of that and slap a massive American flag on it or have John Cena's spin. Like, this is not their thing. And those NXT titles aren't either. This is the closest we've ever had to, and Triple H hasn't been removed yet because he's part of the family, but a booker being taken out of the role and all of that booker's guys going with him.
And to that point that Havlicek has made there, are Triple H and Shawn Michaels safe? It's insane that I saw tweets being asked of us today on the news saying, you know, not only because it's, you know, the situation's changed completely in the last few months, obviously his health stuff, we wish him well in his recovery for that, but disregarding that for a second, if you think about how far away he is from taking the reins when Vince steps aside or whatever happens at the top there, it's now no longer that, is it? It's whether or not he's even going to be around.
He's an admin assistant. That's what he is now. Triple H, Vince McMahon once removed his own daughter from head of creative. Like,
yeah.
He's essentially demoted. He's already demoted Triple H. What does he do? Well, what does Triple H do now in that operation? Museum guide?
Shawn Michaels said in an interview recently that he's actually relished being off. Like, obviously he had to take time off and he's been recovering, so it's very different than just taking a sabbatical or being on a holiday or whatever. But he said it's the first time in forever, I guess, that he's been off the grind. You know, Triple H was forced to work as hard as Vince McMahon and seemingly did, you know, and you could see, especially during the war, how much that was physically weathering.
He aged him, Mike.
Yeah, like, so that this time off, maybe this is where, like, he's married in rather than being part of the family, because maybe he's not got that gene like the rest of the McMahons do. Maybe he's just looked at this and thought, it turns out you can actually live like a normal human being. I'd forgotten about that. Shane McMahon, like, he saw that. Like, he got into, like, streaming or something? Like, when he left in 2009, he just thought, I need to get off. Like, maybe Dad won't sack me, but I need to get off this ride. And Triple H has been forced off it. Maybe he's got a taste for that, and maybe, like, rather than the decision being made for him and his pride taking a dent, maybe he'll make it first. What that does for Shawn Michaels, I don't know.
It's weird because there's a take. I don't regurgitate this. There's a take that used to go around the message boards in 1995, 1996, that Vince McMahon had a psychosexual obsession with Shawn Michaels, and that he just loves him. He's always been one of his, like, you know, he's got, like, a father-son weird relationship with some of his talents.
Yeah.
Provided they make him money, obviously. Sean's among them. So
Brett and Shawn were like the brothers, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like, they were, for a long time in that narrative, they were brothers. And then, like, Vince kind of went off one of the siblings. Yeah. And he just favoured Shawn over Brett. Like, I like him more. I think he's got more potential. He can go to university, the other one can't, that sort of thing.
It's like the bonds of whatever weird friendship or pseudo-familial relationship they have with one another, the three of them, Shawn, Vince, and... Is he the one, Triple H? The forgotten son. I'm sorry. Fuck, I forgot his name. So you don't know exactly if Vince is that ruthless. He didn't fire Stephanie.
Mm.
What he did, and it's funny that she wasn't involved in creative, even though she ruined it forever. He goes like, right, you've got a different skill set, darling. So and then she did. Like, she made that company look so much nicer yeah. and more marketable than it is.
Bruce Pritchard, cowboy Bruce, was bringing a gun into work.
We need to end this, Dad. Could Triple H simply become a road agent or something?
Yes, is the short answer. It's weird to think about, isn't it? Shawn Michaels, remember what his job was in Black and Gold NXT, and I assume it's something relatively similar now. He was in the finishing class at the Performance Center. At the moment, his job must be like that shot from Fresh Prince where Will Smith walks into the empty room. Because who on the NXT rosters in the finishing class?
Nobody.
Like, what does he do? Just like run the ropes with Tommaso Ciampa. That it? Like, there's nobody else in that. There was a
can't
point.
Tell who's who.
There was a point in NXT where there was nobody in any other class. Yeah. Like, Sean's coaching 50 guys. It's like, hang on, you're ready to go. Get in Sean's class. Like, what am I teaching you? Should we just do, like, drop down and tackles with these guys that have been in the business 10 years? Like, it's gone completely the other way. Like, it's Terry Taylor or somebody, if he's still there, like, coaching the newbies.
He's safe.
Like, he's, like, Rooster's class is absolutely full. Like, it's like, can anybody do a fucking headlock? Anybody? Right, you first.
Jeez, yeah.
Triple H, I honestly, he's done. His corporate career is done. Like, so the symbolic representation of that, literally on Tuesday night, you've seen the actual admin to tie up that on Wednesday night. He's failed to develop talent that Vince McMahon wants. His reputation among prospective buyers of the TV industry, given the death of NXT, will be very, very low. Like his expansion, NXT, Mexico, yeah. NXT, Japan, remember all that? He's done corporately. And it's not like a Bruce Pritchard or a Laurinaitis thing where they had a certain role, a yes man, that they're always going to be back in the loop. Triple H will never again ever have that position of power that he had because he's failed at it. Like, Pritchard and Laurinaitis never had these grand transformative plans that Triple H didn't ultimately failed with and hemorrhage money with. Like, he's done. So he can't go back up. I don't even know what he does now. He might be a road agent. It's ample points out, like, Shane left. And Vince's like, oh, okay, it's a bit of a shame.
Triple H is we're not doing this with, like, sympathy or fear. He's a multi-millionaire from yes. all of this and could now...
Maybe he could do Thor, after all.
Yeah, he just gets his turn. You know, like the...
He's not getting that job, but you know what I mean? Like,
The Rock gets him some extra work. Triple H just starts appearing in the background of, like, all The Rock's films.
Triple H, realistically, he's not going to get fired. He's not on the spreadsheet. He's not on the spreadsheet.
But imagine if he's just been moved from tab, like, the sort of super protected tab.
So like, from like Khan, Vince, Dunn, true.
like Nick Khan's just like on the front of Vince.
Keep enough for another go another week.
So, and Shawn Michaels, realistically, like, he didn't just retire in 2010.
Yeah.
And then they didn't just instantly go, right, get into the fold, get into the management, get into the production
room. Tried to get out, didn't he?
He tried to get out.
Like, hunting shows and stuff. And
like...
Get down wind.
I mean...
For some reason.
So, like, I mean, he could realistically go. Yeah. I've read way wilder headlines in my goddamn mm-hmm. life as a wrestling fan than WWE releases Shawn Michaels or mutually agreed to part ways.
Mm. Finally, as we wrap this up, Hamflet, I think I know the answer to this considering the way 2021 went. It was just... wild. There was 80-odd, what was it, by the end of the year?
I think there was, like, almost the same by the end. I'm sure it was, like, 86 and 80.
Yeah.
2020 and 2021.
So are we going to see more releases in 2022? And is it going to be possibly more, like we say, backstage people rather than wrestlers? I have no doubt that we will see more spring cleaning, quite possibly, from WWE.
All of the above. There is no longer... I would say it would be foolish to assume that there is a case of this just happening seasonally. So we have had cuts in November, knowing full well that the Survivor Series typically needs a lot of people on the card, and you've got two 30 person battle royals in January, and they've thought, sod it, do some more cuts in November, because it, for whatever corporate reasons there are, whenever they want to make the cut, it's a lot, it seems to be around the quarterly investor calls now, doesn't it?
The share price.
Yeah, like whatever sort of they're looking at, and Khan's spreadsheet and that, then they're not bothered about the events, they're not bothered about people getting pushed or storylines. That is irrelevant. So the old post-WrestleMania thing used to be about how WWE functioned. Well, who do we need in the year ahead? Who is surplus to requirements? That's not a consideration. They might sack a load of people, but it won't be because of, you know what, we're just not going to push you. Like, it doesn't care. Not bothered. Like, none of that's relative anymore. So, yes, there will be more cuts, I think. The pendulum swings, and this latest round of cuts, it swung back in this direction. I again think that they might be prepping for a sale. Like, I go back and forth on this all the time because it's always the age-old Vince McMahon argument. He never will, he never will, he never will. But, like, I watch Raw every week. Is he even alive to make the choice? Who can say? He might be being puppeteered for all we know. I feel like I'm watching a scene out of Sesame Street when he talks to Austin Theory. Like, is it Vince or is it Elmo? Like, I don't know how arsed he is. How much, like, the amount of cuts that are taking place with him probably just giving a yes over an email or signing one piece of paper so that the rest of the work can be done makes you think that old adage of, believe me, everything that goes on in this company goes through Vince. Does it? Like, does it really anymore? Like, is he really signing off on that last Dana Brooke t-shirt? Probably not. So it's easier to think that maybe sales and things are happening with him just green-lighting it. Like, stock gets sold and then you think, is he really checking out? You know, Nick Khan, in a year's time, if Nick Khan was to leave, these executives tend to do, like, between 2 and 5 years in a role and then they move on to the next one. They're scum. That's how they operate, right? Is he going to leave in January 2023, 3 years on from getting signed, having done what was asked of him when he got signed, which was prep this company for a sale by making it look as asset-free as possible and the easiest possible purchase for a mega super conglomerate so that that waxwork of Vince can finally just be put in a museum somewhere and the family can start deciding, like, moving on with their lives, doing what they're going to do next. Like, that's, I've worked in companies where Nick Khan-type figures come in to do this role. I believe he'll be gone within the next 2 or 3 years, having, like, absolutely succeeded. And what that means for WWE is probably way beyond wrestling concerns. It's petty in-ring concerns.
It's not gutting, is it? It's streamlining.
Streamlining, yes. Ugh. I've been involved in the finance industry as well. The administration industry, let's face it.
But every goddamn industry.
But you can see it happening from your desk in fear at what goes on. It's a cycle rotation of manager. The company has absolutely hot reputation.
Minging PowerPoint presentations as well. I've had 18 jobs. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange, sir? No, it's actually good. Like, my LinkedIn profile's 12 pages.
I remember a company came into where I was working once, and the bloke, huge company staff meeting, everyone's in there, everyone's panicking, everyone's worrying, everyone's just talking about it. And he goes, guys, I know I've heard the whispers around, and I just want to reassure everyone in this room, no one is getting fired in the very, very short term. So what, by the end of the day?
But, like, you see them come
have
in.
Have your lunch, and then we'll talk.
You come in, it's like, this guy's hot. He's going to change the way we work. Be way more proactive, right? Oh, that's all bollocks. And, like, he's gone. In, like, 2 years, what's he done? What's he really done?
He changed the hierarchy document that's been saved in the C drive.
Yeah.
Like, he's sort of, I'm going to restructure the teams a little bit and then get them out of here.
And then he leaves, and it's like, he came in a bit hotter than he left. He didn't really pop the territory. It's just how these things work. Just how these bloody things work.
Lots more releases to be expected
this
year.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain people, I'm not being funny, from the in-ring side of things. Who's not working? Why do they not want him in the ring? How much do they like him, really? And you can pick at least 10 off the top of my head. But I wouldn't, for sensitivity's sake, I'm not going to say, you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your job. Point of Roman Reigns, you're not going to lose your job.
But that's where we're at. We've talked about this before. A list is on our website, and I'm pretty sure there's maybe a video on the YouTube channel. We just about got it to 10 that we earnestly thought were safe. Like, and even now I can only think of 5, and it's Roman and the Horsewomen. But we've sort of arrived at 10 that sort of made logical sense beyond that. So I was...
And that'd be funny, right? But if you get that 10, and I'm not saying that, like, Drew McIntyre was in the Brit Res scene 4 years ago. Like, I think it's great and they made a top star of him, but you want to think about how far away that was. Like, there's hardly anyone is safe. Like, it's not like a Roman Reigns. That would be a shocking headline, and I don't want it to happen. Drew McIntyre is one of the few performers who, in the ring, I think, Christ, he can shatter the cobwebs of this softly, safely, methodical bollocks. But if you go past those five, six, seven, eight names, you think, how safe are you really?
Mm-hmm. And it is the 6th of January. It's going to be a very interesting year.
It's been a bad one so far. Like,
sounds like yesterday was a pay-per-view. They should have called day five.
Daniel Bryan has had to bleed buckets out of his temple for me to have a vague bit of fun this year.
I don't know. Bron Breakker kicked the next.
I had good feeling towards WWE until yesterday, this year. If you did a clean slate for 2022, really enjoyed day one. Raw wasn't that bad. NXT New Year's Evil was loads of fun as well.
The sprite on the New Year's Eve logo should have Nick Khan's face on it, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
I had some really nice chicken wings in the Longship the other day as well. You know, when pub food's just, I'd rather go to a restaurant. Nah, wings in this place are great. So chicken wings and Daniel Bryan's plasma.
Pub food makes me feel comfortable because I paid for it first.
Right.
Get nervous about like the bill coming and I've forgotten that this beer was really expensive or something. Pub food, you've covered it. Covered your bill. Sit down. Relax. Your job's done. Go and eat your microwave warm chips and get out of there.
Well, let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, our review of AEW Dynamite is available right now. But for now, this has been Get the Table. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.